So we acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spotless, fluffy as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 12, Life on the Farm, October 27th, 2013. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode are located on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. If you enjoy the show, please like the Yarns at Yin Hu Facebook page or join the Yarns at Yin Hu group on Ravelry. You can find me on Ravelry and Twitter as Sarah Pomegranate. I welcome your suggestions and comments. This week, I heard from new listeners Saratoga Knitting, Pickup Stitch, and Wanda Onafua. Lara and Julie left comments on the show blog, and Tiffy Spiffy posted an entry to the Teacher Tribute Challenge. There are still a few days left to enter the Teacher Tribute Challenge. You could win one of two prizes I selected at the New York Sheep and Wool Festival last weekend: a Darling Project bag from Rock Paper Flower, or a set of enchanting cards printed from the batiks of Carol Law Conklin. Check out the show notes in Episode 7 or listen to any of the recent podcasts for more information. This episode features an interview with Sherry of Spinner's End Farm, located in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. On her blog, Sherry lists the animals who live at Spinner's End: a herd of Shetland sheep, English Angora rabbits, two old English baby doll Southdown sheep, three rescue llamas, two Pygora goats, 40-some-odd chickens, but who's counting, two ducks, three dogs, two cats, three guinea pigs, and a goldfish. Not to mention the rescue alpacas that were the object of a Kickstarter project that concluded early this spring. I had been looking for a Kickstarter project to support because Samuel's band, Bovine Social Club, had recently been successful in raising funds for their first album with Kickstarter. I was overwhelmed by the generosity of people who gave money to a project they believe in. The band raised enough money that they were able to hire Tim Carbone of Railroad Earth to produce the record. It was really special, and I wanted to support someone with an innovative idea on Kickstarter. When I found out about Spinner's End Farm and Sherry and Will's desire to rescue some local alpacas, I knew I had to participate. So I contacted Sherry, who was generous with her encouragement of my spinning. I was just about to take a beginning spinner's class, and she sent me the fiber and spindle that I selected as my incentive, so I had it for the first day of my class. This was back in February. My first several skeins of handspun are Spinner's End specialties. A few months later, I used some sari silk fibers from Sherry's Etsy shop to create a yarn that became my first weaving project. As soon as I launched the Yarns at Yin Hu podcast, I contacted Sherry and asked if she would be willing to do an interview for the show. We exchanged ideas and MP3 files via email and Facebook messages, and I'm excited to introduce Yarns at Yin Hu listeners to Sherry and her family. I'll play my questions and Sherry's responses in chunks so that you can follow along. Sherry's voice was made for radio. I hope you enjoy listening to her story and the details of her life on the farm as much as I did. We'll start with a little bit of backstory.
This is basically the story of the beginning of the end, I like to call it, I guess. In 2009, I was visiting my mother-in-law in New Hampshire and the rest of Will's family. And there's a lovely little farm down the road called Riversleigh Farm. They have a variety of sheep and goats there. They sell wool roving and meat. And we stopped in, and I was looking at the roving and purchased two beautiful balls of wool, one an aqua blue-green color and the other a coral. I mostly was very attracted to the colors and the texture. I brought those back and showed my mother-in-law, Josie, and she said, "What are you going to do with those?" And I said, "I don't know. I just really liked them, and I guess at some point I'd really like to learn how to spin." And she looked at me and she said, "Would you like to take home my spinning wheel?" So I brought home Josie is the name of the spinning wheel. It's an Ashford traditional wheel in August of 2009, and took it to our local spinning and weaving guild, the Youper Spinners and Weavers. And of course, Youper is a play on words between you for the you sheep and Youpers, as in people that live in the UP. I learned how to use my wheel, and later that year there was a rescue situation that came up for a group of animals, some pygmy goats and llamas, and I asked Will if he was interested in fostering a couple of goats. And he said to me, straight-faced, "What about the llamas? Couldn't you use their fiber for spinning?" And that was pretty much the beginning of the end for the fiber animals at our house. After we put up the fencing and shelter for the llamas, we ended up adding a few Shetland sheep, a lovely, sweet little breed of sheep, and English Angora rabbits. And then more recently ended up with the Surrey alpacas. And a couple of years ago, Will built me this beautiful post and beam barn. It's just an incredible work of art that I cherish. But I thought you might be interested in knowing how we got to where we are now.
I asked Sherry to tell us a little bit about what it's like to live on the Upper Peninsula in Curtis, Michigan, where the nearest mall is nearly 2 hours away. One of the things I ask every guest on Yarns at Yinhu is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how prepared are you for the apocalypse?
Hi, Sarah. It's the end of October, and it's definitely beginning to feel like fall is giving way to winter here. Most of the leaves have fallen off of the trees, and we've had a few snowstorms, a few hailstorms, and things are starting to begin looking bleak and gray. Fall is my favorite season, but this transition between fall and winter is always a little on the depressing side, I think. The Upper Peninsula is beautiful and it's wild in many ways. Curtis is a small town with a big heart, and it's quiet most of the time here. We have more summer residents than we do in the wintertime, so things are a little livelier in the summer. We have a wonderful art center called the Erickson Center for the Arts, and there are lots of things to do. Music and puppets and workshops. So there's generally something to do. Winter's a little quieter. The amenities living in the UP where we are at are few and far between, so you have to make plans in advance and have things on hand. We do a lot of internet shopping to take the place of going to the mall. The nearest mall shopping is about an hour and 45 minutes away. This is not necessarily a bad thing, of course. The cost of living is higher in the Upper Peninsula than it is in the Lower Peninsula, and generally the quality of groceries is a little on the lower side, so we grow a lot of our own vegetables. We can and freeze those, and we buy most of our meat from neighbors, so I guess I'd say we know most of our food. Let's see, prepared for the apocalypse, I'd have to say a 7. Like I said, we have some of our own food stored. We can grow our own. We're able to harvest and grow our own wool and fiber. So we could make our own clothes, and we can barter with our neighbors for things that we don't have. We all love books, and we have enough reading material here to last a decade. So as long as there's not a zombie apocalypse, we're probably safe.
I've listed all of the animals that are mentioned on her blog page, and I think that's already inaccurate because she doesn't list the number of alpacas she has, and I think there have been some recent kitten additions to their family on Spinner's End Farm. So I was wondering if she had any other ideas about animals she'd like to add to the menagerie there. I wondered about what values the children are learning as they grow up on a farm, and what Sherry's ideas were about the things that the children were being exposed to and how it was affecting them as young people. I was also curious about how the blog has evolved over time, how she started the blog, and if she had any favorite bloggers that she followed or she learned from as she was putting her blog together. I thought listeners would be interested in learning a little bit more about the Kickstarter project, the alpacas that were rescued, and also how the fiber CSA works. I was wondering about knitting or spinning projects that Sherry is working on, as well as what is making her happy this week, or what is she looking forward to in the coming season.
I did not grow up on a farm, but I've always had a love for animals. We had a couple of horses and rabbits and always dogs and barn cats growing up, but I always wanted more, and now I've got it. As far as adding anything to the menagerie, the kids would love to have a camel, but I don't think we're going to go there. I've always thought a muskox would be nice too, but again, a little larger than I think we're ready to handle at this point. The values I think the kids are getting growing up on a farm are many-fold. I asked Lila this question, and the first thing she said to me was, learning how to be on our own. And I thought about that for a minute and wondered if she meant that we were leaving them alone too often because we were out doing chores and they were feeling left out. But she hurriedly explained to me that she was learning to become self-sufficient because we were teaching them how to can and how to cook and how to do the dishes, which made me feel much better. So they are learning self-sufficiency. They've also learned empathy and a sense of responsibility and reality, too. They've learned about the joy of birth when we've had baby Kriyas or sheep, and they've also learned about the sorrow of death. They're learning also the value of knowing where their food comes from and a sense of place from that also. Oh, the blog. Let's see. So I initially started the blog as a way of keeping in contact with family and friends. Will's family is in New England, and we wanted to let them know what was going on with us in both words and photos. Since then, it's evolved more into a relationship between myself or the farm and other people with like interests, be they fellow shepherds, fiber enthusiasts, small farm advocates, or animal lovers. I have a list of blogs that I really like to follow, and they're very eclectic. There's a list of them in the sidebar of the blog if people are interested in seeing those. Some of my absolute favorites are Going Gently, Mannion's Meanderings, Pumpkin's Patch, Chickens in the Road, and Food in Jars. My favorite blogs are those that make me smile, and Going Gently does that almost every day. I think that the blogs that are the most interesting post fairly frequently, and I'd certainly like to be able to do that more often than I do. I found it very challenging to keep up with a full-time job, daily farm chores, and raising a family. The house is constantly in chaos, and it's never as clean as I'd like it, but fortunately, I'm not a neat freak. When I get bored with my blog, I know it's time for a new post. So I'll try to do better, I promise. I found out about the Surrey alpaca herd that was available through a friend of the breeder. He needed to move in a hurry, and he wasn't sure what was going to happen with the animals. We had some money saved up to purchase a few of them, but wondered if we would be able to raise more to buy them all. Initially, we weren't sure that our project would match up with Kickstarter's objectives, but fortunately, it did. And we ended up with enough money to buy all 14 of the animals and enough extra to help with fencing and shelter. The participation in the Kickstarter project was very touching. We had many donors that donated anywhere between $5 and $1,000. There were many kind emails from people, and the pledges were just amazing. Most of the pledges did not come from Kickstarter itself or internally through that process, but came from a fellow blog. Suzanne from Chickens in the Road thought our project was a worthy cause, and she did a post on her blog, and from that, we received over 50% of our pledges. And that was an incredibly generous thing for Suzanne to do. She, like you, Sarah, had a successful Kickstarter project, and she wanted to give back. And like you, she did, and in an amazing way. That was wonderful. So we have a fiber CSA that we do through Etsy, and it typically consists of 5 to 7 shares throughout a single year. And it can either be 2 pounds of processed roving from our animals or 1 pound of yarn that I would spin from our animals. I list them on Etsy typically, or people could contact me directly for next year if folks would like to. The money from the CSA shares go directly towards the cost of caring for the animals. A CSA, defined, is a community sustained or supported agriculture project, and typically what it does is it puts the money from the shareholder up front directly into the hands of the farmer so that they are able to sustain their business, and it also sort of shares the risk across the shareholders. And typically in a fiber CSA there isn't any risk. The animals are shorn every year, and the fiber process, so there would be very little risk involved. But it does put the funding in the farmer's hands up front so that they can purchase items that they need for their animals. And typically what we've done with the money, so like I said, we usually have between 5 and 7 shares, is that goes towards the cost of any veterinary supplies that we would use, so vaccinations, worming if we need to do worming, minerals, and kelp meal, which helps to keep them healthy, and sheep suits, which help to keep their fiber clean. Oh, spinning and knitting projects I have going. Yes, right now I'm currently spinning 2 pounds of Shetland and alpaca wool and Shetland and Angora wool for a CSA shareholder. And I'm knitting myself a cardigan, which is my first big knitting project. I also have a couple of smaller knitting projects in the works for Christmas gifts, and I probably can't tell you about those. Right now, I'm very happy knitting, that my knitting project is coming along nicely and that I'm learning new skills. I look forward to starting those other little projects that I'm making and learning a few new things. I'm also looking forward this year to expanding my skill set by making soap and lotion bars as gifts this year. And I'm also probably most looking forward to taking a couple of weeks off from work in December to spend with my family.
Sherry asked her children, Lila, Sam, and Duncan, to reflect on what is their favorite part about living on a farm. And she included their audio file with the other files that she sent.
Will and I have 3 children, Sam, Lila, and Duncan, and they had a couple of things they wanted to tell you.
Hi, my name is Sam. I'm 10 years old, and what I like about the farm is looking out the window and seeing the plants and the animals just with no worries, munching on their hay and grass, watching things pass by. It's quite nice.
Hi, my name's Duncan. I'm 9 years old, and the things I enjoy doing on the farm is bouncing on the trampoline, which doesn't have much to do with farming, and picking beans from the garden.
I'm Lila, and I'm really weird, but that's okay. I learned that I don't have to expect everything to like me because they don't.
The animals, you mean?
Yeah. And that's everything. And that I like to garden. That's fun. Except for when I meet grubs, I don't like those.
Anything else? Do you have a favorite animal on the farm?
I like Amy the sheep. I like the Daisy the sheep. She's nice. She's a nice sheep.
Okay. She's Daisy nice the sheep.
Special thanks to Sherry, Will, Lila, Sam, and Duncan for taking the time to make a recording for this episode. I've included links to Sherry's blog and the Spinner's End Etsy shop in the show notes. Spinners, you should definitely check out the Fiber CSA and the other products Sherry has available online. At the beginning of the episode, I mentioned that our initial contact was made through the Kickstarter program. As Sherry and I were corresponding, I decided to send Bovine Social Club's album to Sherry and ask the family to let me know which songs are their favorites. I'll close this episode with Pick and Jamboree by Bovine Social Club, which seems fitting for the harvest season. It's been a lot of fun to record this special episode for Halloween, and even though we didn't necessarily have a Halloween theme in the interview, this will be released on Halloween or just before, and I've included a special picture of a pumpkin from Spinner's End Farm as the episode photo this week. I am just about ready to head off for a masquerade ball that the Bovine Social Club is playing this weekend at Wild West City in Stanhope, New Jersey. So I'm almost ready. I just have to apply the fake eyelashes and get my mask together, and I'm ready to go. I wish all our listeners a very happy Halloween. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week. Pick them square up, pick them round. It's a pick, pick, picking jamboree. Pick them maters, grapes on vines. Pick them heirloom granny's kinds. Pick them peppers, pick old treats. Pick them hot or pick them sweet. It's a pick, pick, picking
squash ain't worth a dime. Pick them apples, pick them beans. Pick them red or pick them green. Pick them taters from the ground. Pick them square or pick them red.